Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, a new clean energy startup just received millions of dollars in funding from some of the biggest names in artificial intelligence. We'll hear about how its technology works from WSJ climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar. And then, as the AI boom continues, companies are scrambling to build data centers as quickly as possible. But they're finding that the necessary parts, power, and property are in short supply. WSJ reporter Tom Dotan tells us more about the shortage and what it means for AI's future. But first, ExoWatt is a new clean energy company that uses solar power to generate electricity. Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, and venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz are among the investors putting $20 million into the company. What makes it different is not just its approach, but also the problem it's trying to solve. ExoWatt was launched with the sole purpose of supplying clean energy to big data centers that are powering AI. WSJ climate finance reporter Amrith Ramkumar is here now with more. Amrith, this problem of AI's demand for electricity, just how urgent is it?
The problem has really overtaken the entire energy industry. We're about 4 months into 2024, and already pretty much every notable utility and energy firm is talking about the insatiable electricity demand from data centers. We've also seen some utilities now saying, well, we need to keep our natural gas and coal plants on, otherwise we can't meet this demand. And even big companies like Amazon, Microsoft, OpenAI, which has a CEO, Sam Altman, that's invested in ExoWatt, they're super worried because the big pinch point on AI models, they say, is getting cheap, clean electricity. Forget the clean, too, just cheap electricity that can power all these models and all these data centers.
You mentioned that Sam Altman is among ExoWatt's investors. Why is his investment a big deal?
Altman's investment is a big deal, even though it's a small dollar amount, because he's the face of the AI boom, and people are sort of following anything he says or does as a signal to where the industry might go next. Altman has invested in nuclear fusion and fission startups in the past. They're called Helion and Oklo, and he's actually trying to take Oklo public right now. But those nuclear bets are seen as many years away. ExoWatt is saying that this is existing technology that can be deployed this year and grow really quickly because it's really simple and is super laser focused on reducing costs and data centers.
What is ExoWatt's approach besides being, as you said, laser focused on data centers?
ExoWatt's technology is actually pretty simple, and it's more about combining multiple clean energy approaches into a single module. So they're talking about using these specially designed solar lenses that take in energy from the sun and convert it into heat. And then at the same time, in the same module, that heat is stored in a toaster-like heat battery that's made up of really cheap, abundant materials. So a lot of companies are working on heat batteries. But they say by combining that solar aspect and the heat battery in the same module, and then using a heat engine to turn that into electricity, they can really bring down the cost. Another thing to keep in mind is everyone's laser focused on domestic content and manufacturing domestically right now. And a lot of clean energy companies are hugely dependent on China, and that's created a lot of red flags. By focusing on cheap domestic materials, ExoWatt is in line to potentially get a lot of subsidies from the 2022 climate law known as the Inflation Reduction Act. And that makes it very attractive to their customers, potentially, if it works. That's the big thing with a lot of these clean energy startups.
Do they have a date by which they want to start to deploy these?
ExoWatt says it's hoping to deploy this technology at big data centers later this year and really be at large scales next year. So they're looking at very fast ramp-up periods because it's a simple thing and they say it doesn't cost customers that much money.
Who are ExoWatt's competitors?
ExoWatt faces a really tough competitive landscape. A lot of startups are working on heat batteries, including Antora Energy and Rondo Energy, and they have been at this for years and have a lot of funding and maybe more experience deploying these in the field. A lot of other startups are looking at nuclear and things like geothermal, using energy from beneath the heat surface. So again, everyone's repositioning now and trying to get in the pole position because the pie is so big for this data center electricity demand.
That was our climate finance reporter, Amrith Ramkumar. Coming up, how will supply shortages around data centers affect the AI boom? That's after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
As the demand for artificial intelligence grows, so does the need for more facilities to power it. Those facilities are data centers, buildings that store the servers and other equipment needed to run things like AI and cloud computing. And right now, in the middle of the AI boom, a new data center pops up every 3 days, according to some estimates. Because of this frenzy, there's a shortage of some of the key elements that data centers need. Here to tell us more about the problem is WSJ reporter Tom Dotan. Tom, what are we seeing a shortage of now?
For a long time, it was chips. We've talked a lot about that, that NVIDIA's high-end AI chips, there was such a demand for them that they really couldn't keep up. And now a lot of that has moved over to the smaller, less visible components of putting together a data center, which is like these warehouses of supercomputers. And that can run anything from the cooling systems that are needed to make these computers run operationally, the cables that you need to connect the computers together to operate effectively, to just the real estate, the kind of specific requirements that these warehouses need to work. And then the biggest thing maybe among all of this is power. Because these things consume so much power, there's just not exactly the extra megawatts available on the grid to port over to these warehouses. And you know, if you need to add more megawatts or the actual warehouse isn't set up to receive the huge amount of power needed to power these things, all that stuff makes it very complicated.
Who is being affected by this shortage of parts, property, and power?
Right now, really, it's the companies that are building these data centers. Like, they are getting the contracts to build these new things because, again, there's so much demand and they've got to put together all the pieces in order to make it work. And they're reaching out to their suppliers and saying, all right, we need to put up a new data center in Kansas City. What do we need to do that?
What happens if a company can't get some of the elements that it needs?
It just sets everything back. If we can all remember during the pandemic when it took you like weeks longer to get the things you wanted from Amazon than it did before the pandemic because there was so much demand and there was so much e-commerce. This is just what happens when you have one of the greatest construction booms in the history of the digital economy. Stuff's going to get backed up.
Can you give me an example of what this can mean for a company in practice?
Yeah, Hydrohost is a company that helps plan GPU data centers. And GPUs are the AI chips that I was talking about earlier. And so they had one project that they spoke to me about where they had to find a suitable location to build the data center. And that required the real estate itself. It required that real estate having the cooling systems in place. It required the power availability, all the things that I've been talking about earlier. They had to do. And if this were another time, it probably would have been easier for them to do. But because it's so hard to get these components to make these things operational, it ended up taking them months longer than they initially thought. And they were looking at locations in New York and Phoenix and Kansas City and North Carolina. And that process ended up pushing the project back months.
So what measures are companies taking to keep things on deadline and within budget?
I mean, no company ever wants to say they can't do it. When you get the contract, when you get the thing approved, you have to make it work. You basically just have to be realistic and say, okay, in this current moment where there's such a demand for all these components, we may take longer to build this thing than we initially thought. And so if we need to get a backup power generator in case the power grid goes down and we need to make sure that this plant is operational for a couple of hours until the power goes back on, and it takes 2 years to get a new power generator, then it's going to take 2 years longer to build this data center. It's just a matter of being as resourceful as possible to get some sort of a quick fix if the part that you need isn't there. But also, again, just being realistic that this is going to take longer than it would have during more normal times.
What will it take for these various shortages to end?
Probably just time. The supply chain is a very sophisticated organism that can adapt. So in the same way that we all remember at the beginning of the pandemic, it was hard to get stuff. And then 6 months, a year into it, stuff seemed to be a lot easier. A lot of these data center companies are just hoping that that's going to be the case, that the cooling systems that they needed, the cables, even the transformers, the power, it's going to get ironed out because it has to get ironed out because these things need to be built right now. And you can't just say no.
Big picture, what does this mean for the AI boom and tech companies' AI ambitions for the next few years?
Right now, things are keeping up to the best that they can be. I haven't heard anything about the fact that like the AI boom is being forestalled because the supply chain isn't keeping up with what's needed. We can still use ChatGPT and all the different models that are being trained and deployed across the country. But the hope that this would end up being as quick as a Google search and as efficient as the way we expect the internet to operate, it may end up taking a little bit longer than people had hoped initially.
That was our reporter, Tom Dotan. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.